Well, good morning again. We're glad to have you here, and I was just sitting down there while they were leading worship, and I'm just thankful for these guys that were here today, and we're just really blessed with some people not only that have great talent, but have really big hearts, and so we're just thankful for them. And I was looking at Josh as Josh was leading, and you may not know this, but Josh has actually been leading worship longer than anyone that has ever led worship at Journey. Because he actually led worship the very first Sunday we had a service. And, Kidmo, you are dismissed. Thank you for that reminder. But he actually led worship the very first week that we ever met. Our first preview service back in December of 2008. And he was in a band. We had some people that were going to be leading worship for us that fell through at the very last minute. And so he and his band came in and led worship, and he just kind of stuck. And so we're awful excited to have all of them, and Richard leading them. And I'm really excited how many of you are here today. And I know we've got several guests today, so we are honored to have you. And while we look a little harum scarum this morning, we are a little bit. If you ever want to know the value of women in a church, let them go on a retreat on a Sunday. And then you will realize how valuable they are. Nothing runs without them. So, but thank you for all the guys that stepped in, and for those of you that were not on the retreat that were here with us and have been a part of this. It's just been a fun morning. So, if you came and we said this was come as you are Sunday, if you needed to grab the kids with everybody's pajamas on, throw them in the car and get over here, then do it. Some of you took us up on it, and I'm so thankful that you did. Now, before you leave, I want you to get your picture taken, all right? And I'm really, Jake, my son, he's out there taking pictures this morning, so he was doing a good job out there. We had Noah checking in at our kids' check-in. We had a bunch of our students that were handing out coffee and working in the coffee bar, and a lot of that is from our student leadership. So we're just very thankful for all of them. Let me also say another couple of things before we get started this morning. Every month or every other month or so, we support a ministry here in town called Room in the Inn, and we help provide a meal for them. This month we're providing a meal for Room in the Inn, but everything, 100% of the meal is being provided by Macaroni Grill. And so we are awful appreciative of Eric, and Eric is the general manager there, and so we're appreciative of their involvement and their willingness to give to that ministry. Also, for all of you that are giving coats for them, as you know, our weather, who knows what it's going to be like tomorrow? It could be 90 degrees tomorrow. Who knows? It could be snowing. You just never know. But we are certainly getting into the colder temperatures. So everybody who signed up to bring a coat for them, and as you know, most coat drives are literally just, if you got a coat, bring it, and somebody hopefully can wear it. But instead, on this coat drive, we had specific people in mind with specific sizes, and we asked you to bring that specific size in a nice coat. It didn't have to be brand new, but it needed to look like it was fairly new. And how many coats did we have signups for? 25 coats, and you guys have taken care of all of those. And there are about 5 coats left that if you have signed up and have not been able to bring your coat yet, we would love to have it by next Sunday. So if you could bring it by next Sunday, as they come in, Kathleen is taking them there, and so this is they don't have a coat. So thank you for those that have participated, and for those that are still bringing. If you can bring those by next Sunday, let's make sure that they're taken care of this winter. And then those of you who took shoe boxes, we've got a bunch of shoe boxes out there. How many of you? I want to know this. How many of you are here? Your wife is on the retreat, but you brought kids in a shoebox today. Would you raise your hand? All right. I'm proud of you. I am proud of you for remembering that. Now, how many of you needed your wife to remind you? Okay. Almost all the same hands went up. So, but thank you for participating in that. We just love being a part of Journey, and just all of your involvement. Don's going to have some updates for us on our partnership in Haiti. And some needs that we're going to be able to take care of this Christmas season. As you may or may not know, every Christmas we do something unique or something special as a gift to those in need. And one year, excuse me, we built wells clean water wells. This year we're going to be working with an orphanage in Haiti, and so we're going to be sharing more of that with you next week. And so we hope that you'll get behind that, and it's just a great opportunity to minister to those kids. Let me also say, for those of you that have taken me up on my challenge to grow a beard this series, it itches, doesn't it? And your wife or significant other may be telling you to put conditioner in it. And if you do that, just go ahead and shave it off, all right, because you've lost your man card. You cannot put conditioner in a beard, all right? Women, you put conditioner wherever you want, but men, tough it out. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to take some pictures and see who's got the best beard going. I've already disqualified some of you. I don't know, is Eddie Thorne here? I think he may be out of town again. Eddie has this massive goatee that, you know, something he could pull out. Who knows what he could pull out of that goatee? It is massive. And so he's disqualified because he has about 50 years head start on the rest of us. But we're just excited to have you all as a part of this series. Our goal has been to really pursue what does it look like to be happy in life. And we wanted to have some fun with the Duck Dynasty theme. And next week, Scott's going to be teaching. And he's wanting everybody to wear all your camo stuff. If you have camo stuff, bring it. If you have pink camo stuff, it's not camo. It's called fashion. You can pick you out of a crowd in pink camo, but if you got pink camo and you want to wear it, bring it. If you're a guy and you wear pink camo, we're going to have men stationed at the door with an alternative wardrobe for you. But if you want to come in your pink camo, come on, and that's going to be next week. So we're going to have some fun together next week. We may have the photo booth set up for then as well. But our goal as we've been going through this series has been really to talk about what does it look like to be happy. And we've been basing some assumptions on the fact that we're pretty certain that 100% of people alive today want to be happy. We're pretty confident with that number. Now, you might come across somebody and they're not happy unless they're unhappy. You know, those are always a joy to be around. They just love to bring drama into the world. And as we talked about our circle of influence and the people that we allow in that inner intimate circle in our lives, we have to be careful who has the most influence on us. Because the wrong people in that circle can get you off track in a hurry. It doesn't mean that we want to push people away or ignore or say we're too good for you. There's always a circle for everyone. But not everyone needs to be in that inner circle. You really need to choose that inner circle well. Are they leading you to a good place in life? Do they have the same values that you do? Are they someone that encourages you or are they someone that discourages you? Is it someone that's always telling you what you've done wrong and you may want to move them into a different concentric circle within your relationships? Just don't put them right there in the center. Today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about a group of people that are in that center circle, whether we like it or not. We call them family. And we want to talk about what does it look like to pursue happiness with your family. Now, here's what I know. I know that as we look over the room that we have, if we have 100 people, we have 100 different family dynamics. That's just the way that it works. Your family is not just like my family, nor just like the family next to you. Now, some of us have some similarities within our families. Some of us would say we come from healthy families. Some of us would say we do not come from healthy families. Others would say, I don't even have anything to do with my family anymore. But we believe that one of the crucial steps to not just finding a life of happiness, because as we've been talking about, happiness is really not a great goal in life. Because happiness depends on your circumstances. Happiness depends on how you feel at the moment. And there is no way to organize your life that you will be happy all the time. The problem with the pursuit of happiness is it is that carrot dangling in front of the donkey. It's always the next thing. I need a little more. It's just right in front of, and we're so close. If we can just do this or do that. And the problem is we reach that plateau and we find that happiness is still eluding us. But there's a better goal in life than to be happy. And the better goal is to be whole. To have a life that is healthy and whole. See, the difference in being whole and at peace and being happy is that you can be whole and at peace and your circumstances can be falling apart. But happiness depends on everything working out exactly the way that you think or want it to work out. And it is very fleeting. You can be happy for a moment and then completely distressed the next. But a person who is whole, who is at peace, they can weather the storms. You're going to have storms. Whoever told you, you can, if you will follow God, you will have sunny skies from here on out, lied to you. They lied to you. Because we have found that God often works in the storms to help you become the person He wants you to be. Why in the world would He keep you from them? They're a refining activity within our lives to help us grow and become who God wants us to become. So what does it look like to be whole? And for some of you, when we talk about family, you get the warm fuzzies. You've already shot your family Christmas photo. And Scott has suggested that you, some of you may want your pajama photo for your family Christmas photo this year, which is perfectly all right. Some of you are thinking, when we talk about family, I'm going to endure this today because there were free Krispy Kremes. But my family is not something I like thinking about. And so as we address all of this, I want you to understand something right up front, that for God, family is highly important. Family is crucial to the way He wants us to understand existence and to understand life. And for some of you, you've had a great head start in this. And for others of you, you have some things to overcome in your pursuit of a healthy family. But I believe that you can get there, and I believe that you can find it. If you're going to take notes today, then I'm going to give you a few. You can follow along on YouVersion if you like. We're going to have stuff on the screen. You can follow along there. But number one thing I want you to start off with is that family can be the greatest example of true community. It can be the greatest example of true community. See, from the very beginning, God intended for us not to live alone, individual lives. And as we've been looking at over these last few weeks, one of the cultural things that is continually telling us a lie that keeps us unhappy is that you need to look after you. Take care of you. That is one of the greatest lies that the enemy tells you, that don't worry about everybody else. Just take care of yourself. The problem is, you'll never be satisfied. God always intended for us to be created for community. You are always going to have family with someone. Family is the opportunity. Whenever I was a kid and my sister and I, we would fight. Anybody of you have siblings and you would fight? Anybody? Anybody have siblings and you didn't fight? A couple of you. Okay, so you're superhuman. I will tell you that right now. But, you know, siblings are the kinds of things that you can do whatever you need to, right? If you need to attack them, if you need to straighten them out, you can do it. But when somebody else steps in, you go into their defense. Family is the opportunity to know we are bonded together and we can stick together. We are in this together. It is a bond that goes beyond acquaintances. It is family. We are here, and no matter what, we are a part of each other's lives. I want you to know that family is important to God. We're going to look at a scripture that has some have questioned whether God truly values family. And I believe He ultimately does. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, I want you to hear what God's initial plan was for Adam and Eve. His first plan, His first creation, when He created Adam, and Adam was alone except with all of the animals. And this is what God said. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and he closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man said, whoa, that's not in your passage, but I know that's what he said. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she is taken out of man. And it goes on and it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. One of the things about that passage that has always intrigued me is, if you were Adam or Eve and God were just to say this to them, you're going to leave your father and mother and cling to each other. Be like, what? What's a father and a mother? They have no idea what he's even talking about here. They don't really have a concept of what it's going to look like to populate the world. And yet God, from the very beginning, begins to help them understand this bond of family. There's something there. There's something God says is good. That the two of you are going to form a relationship that goes beyond just your regular, hey, we know each other kind of relationship. And let's be honest, for most of us, the majority of our relationships are just, we kind of know each other, but we don't really know each other. Even those that have 1,000, 2,000 Facebook friends or Twitter followers or you're in people's Google Plus circles or wherever you are, even among those people, while we get little glimpses of their lives and we give them little glimpses of ours, let's be honest, we rarely put the worst stuff on there, right? We talk about, those perfect parents. Don't you hate those perfect parent posts? Well, we got up this morning and our 3-year-old had cleaned up the house and made breakfast and we got up and it was just wonderful. And of course, there everyone else that has a 3-year-old is thinking, my 3-year-old just threw up and pooped all over the house and wouldn't sleep last night. Man, our life is terrible. Oh, we never have that problem. We read a book. Right? Don't you get those? Here's a link. Go read this book and you'll never have another problem again like us. And yet, if we were really able to glimpse their life, what it looked like, I dare say it doesn't look like their Facebook posts. See, so many of us, even our relationships, what we would call friends, are not someone that we actually interact with, spend time with. If you really needed something, if something really fell apart, if someone in your family got hurt or got sick, would you call them or would they pick up the phone and be there for you? You see, we're under this illusion of all these cultural tools that we have, that because we're connected, we have deep relationships. God created us for deep, meaningful relationships. And you cannot do that through a computer screen or your phone or just seeing each other at work. God intended us for so much more. Now, recognize as we kind of move forward this, some of us are leading lives and it's very difficult to have any other kinds of relationships than that. But I want you to know you were created for more. God wanted from the very beginning for you to have these incredible bonds in family. Now for some, they enter into the world and never truly know who their family is. They never have the real opportunity to get to know someone or have someone bandage their wounds or to hug them whenever they're sad or to be there and take care of them. Sometimes there are those that they enter into the world in a very difficult life. But I want you to know God was not content for people to begin in a difficult way and stay there. God's intent is to demonstrate this incredible bond of family, even with people outside of your bloodline. Did you know that? Not only did God believe in family in the beginning, God believes in family in the church. And God chose to describe the church as his family. I think one of the saddest things in kind of the church world today is the competition and the anxiety and the fighting over the way things in the church should be and the animosity between believers. And when we turn on the news and we see that there are churches that are going and just doing these terrible things around the country and around the world. And what the world sees is not a family, but what they see is a war. And that is not what God intended. God said that all that would follow him, all of his disciples, would be his family. Acts chapter 17, it says this, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him." In other words, he's given you a homing beacon to the perfect family. And every single one of us, he's given us that. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for indeed we are his what? Offspring. The opportunity to be called a child of God. Whenever we baptize somebody, we'll say something to the effect of, "I'm baptizing my brother or my sister." Because we are all on equal footing before God. And in His grace and His mercy, He has said, no matter what your life or your family on this earth looks like, if you will follow Me and receive the gift I have given you through Jesus Christ, you are My family. I will be your father. You will be My children. You will be brothers and sisters who will constantly be demonstrating love and care for one another. That's what He wants for us. Last week, that's why we said in your inner circle, you need to have people that have the most influence on you that are also following Jesus with you. This idea of not being unequally yoked. You know, the idea of being yoked, we've taken that sometimes in the church to just mean marriage, but it really means aligning yourself with anybody who has great influence on you, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, whether it be close friendships that you spend time with on the weekend. And the idea of the yoke is that the two of you are bound together. And wherever they go, you go. Wherever you go, they go. And if you're not going in the same direction, you end up going nowhere. It's not that you have to, everybody has to be this sold out, rock solid Christian to be in your inner circle. But for those that have the most influence on you, make sure they have the same values as you and they know the same God as you. Otherwise, you'll end up going nowhere and you'll get there really fast. We are indeed His offspring. John 1, 9 says, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own. His own people did not receive Him, talking about Jesus. But listen to this. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become what? Children of God. God is the author of family. Not only did He give you an opportunity, if you followed in His steps and followed in His teachings, He gave you the opportunity to experience that in an earthly family. God expanded that to say, even if your family on earth is messed up, you are a part of My family. And though you may struggle to know what that looks like or a healthy one should look like, God will show you, and it is up to us in the church to demonstrate healthy relationships with one another. To believe family is crucial to the understanding of wholeness. And I think it's one of the biggest challenges we're going to be facing in the coming years. And I think it's one of the biggest challenges that our students and then those coming behind them are going to be facing. It is the idea of living life with people. Communicating, walking, having goals, working together, sacrificing together, experiencing life together, and seeing God together. Because everything in our world tells them you should do it alone. It's the divide and conquer strategy for keeping people from experiencing wholeness. Everything around you is pushing you to just, you don't have time for others. And some of us, let's be honest, you either are going to give up sleep or you're going to, you know, not spend time with people. It's one or the other. Some of you, it's, I'll have to work less and therefore we can't pay our bills if I'm going to spend time with others. But I would ask you to assess within your life, is that really how packed your day is? There's a lie that's telling you, do it on your own. Just get through this thing. And if you are, I want you to know you're going to pursue happiness, but you'll never feel whole. Because you were never meant to do this on your own. In talking about family, we also know this. I've been talking around this morning, but family can be a great strength. Or it could be a grave distraction. There are actually parts of the world that if you were to follow Jesus, your family would not only disown you, but would try to kill you. We don't happen to live in one of those cultures, but it's a very real reality in many parts of the world. Family can be a great strength. For those that know Jesus and for those that are demonstrating healthy relationships, it can be an incredible strength. But for those that are so just burdened with themselves, and worrying about themselves and nobody else can be a grave distraction. And so what I hope that I can share with you is, what does it look like then to be healthy? How do we accomplish this if it's so difficult in this world that we live in? And I want you to know this. Happiness can be encouraged by a healthy family. So what does it look like to be healthy? Now, I don't have a book coming out. And I don't have five steps for your money back. Well, I'll make you that deal right now. 5 steps of your money back, because I think we let you in for free. But I do have some things that I think can be helpful for our families. And I know we still have plenty of women in the room today, but I'm going to be speaking some to men today as well, because a lot of this rests on your shoulders, men in the family, as an example. Number one, how do you have a healthy family? A healthy family must have a healthy commitment to God. Bottom line, you cannot be healthy if you do not have a healthy commitment to God. You can be content, but you cannot be healthy. You can survive, but you cannot be healthy. You can get through life, but you cannot be healthy if you don't have a healthy commitment to God, because God created you to look a certain way to function fully. And if you ignore God, you will never function and never experience what you are created to experience. I remember one of the less enjoyable days of Deidre's and my marriage came a day when we were living in Texas. And we had a car that had power windows, and they're wonderful, aren't they? Until they don't work. And you didn't find that out until you put the window down, and it's about to rain. That's not a good day to learn that your power window didn't work. Well, I'm a do-it-yourselfer. Do you have any do-it-yourselfers in here? Have you noticed there? I can't remember if it's on Hickson Pike or Signal Mountain Road. There is a service station, and the sign literally says, you know, women, bring us the project that your husband fixed, which is really a pretty good tagline. But I'm a do-it-yourselfer. And at that time in our lives, you know, we just couldn't afford to pay anybody to do stuff. And I think I've found most do-it-yourselfers, either they just enjoy doing it or they just can't afford to pay somebody else, and so they figure out how to do it themselves. That's kind of where I am. I'm not really that good at it, but I figured out how to do it because I couldn't afford to pay anybody. Well, it's really expensive to replace the motor that makes your window go up and down. But what's worse is to replace the interior when it rains inside your car, because your window won't go up. And I was not at a place in my life that I was comfortable with saran wrap and duct tape on the outside. I'm not saying I haven't done that since then, but at that time I really wasn't comfortable with it. I had to keep my image up. And so I went to the parts store, and I bought my motor to fix my window, and it was going to be real easy. I had my screwdriver, I had my tools that I had, and I took the door apart, pulled it out, and there's an amazing little device attached to the motor that hooks to your window that, once you disconnect it, your window will make a very expedient exit through the door. It just drops. And if you're not prepared, it can end up very badly. My window fortunately didn't break, but I had to get the window up in the position where it could reattach it to the motor. And we lived in an apartment. It was 600 square foot. I mean, literally, this carpet was twice the size of our kitchen. You know, we had this little bitty kitchen. Two people could not be in the kitchen. I mean, I didn't have room for tools or anything, and I was out in the parking lot. But what I did have was a plunger. Now, I want you to know that if you use a device for something it was not created for, it doesn't always work well. And a plunger holding your window up in your car does not work well. If you want to try it yourself, that's fine. But you will agree with me by the end of the process. And so Deidre's out there, and it's starting to rain, and she's holding the umbrella, and I'm being very not real patient, to be quite honest. I was not patient. It was not a shining moment for me. But I finally did get the window up and in place. I have found out since then that if you're going to undertake a project, buy the tool that was designed for the project. Can I get an amen from the men and the women? Because I know some of you in here do projects too. When you try to live life in a way that you were not designed, you will always have friction. When you try to experience wholeness, fullness, happiness in a way that you were not designed to live, you will never find it. And our culture, unfortunately, is not attempting to get you to live a godly life. It wants you to focus on you and yourself. And to follow God means we take our focus off of ourselves, completely place it on God. And so if we don't embrace this very real concept that you cannot have a healthy family unless you have a healthy commitment to God, then you will never find wholeness and happiness within your family. It has to begin with a healthy commitment to God. Matthew chapter 10 says this, verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. This is one of those controversial passages. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoa. Doesn't that say exactly the opposite of everything I've just been saying? Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, some have taken this passage and said, well, God doesn't value family. He values the individual. And there's some truth to that. But there are too many instances where God values the community. God values the family. God instituted it from the beginning. There's nothing in this passage that said God's desire is for you to be at conflict with your mother, your father, your son, or your daughter. There is nothing that says God desires for you to be at conflict with them. But what he says is, if you replace him with anything else, there's going to be problems. And that includes those that you would consider your closest relationships in this world. God must come first. Health cannot happen unless God comes first above everything else. But I am telling you, God never leaves you there. The idea that God just wants you to give him everything and then let the chips fall where they may. That is not the way that God works. That is not the way that a parent demonstrates love for a child. But instead, when he says, this is the way that I want life to work for you, it filters down into healthy relationships with everyone else. So the first step is this. You have to have a healthy commitment to God. And if you're a mom or a dad in the room, or if you hope to be one day, I would ask you this. Where is your relationship with God? Now, I'm not talking about super Christians here. We all know super Christians, the kind of Christians that we all aspire to be one day and we know we'll never reach it. I'm not talking about super Christians are the only ones who have healthy families. The people that have healthy families are the ones who are actively pursuing Christ, even through periods of unhealth. Because I have yet to find a family that is healthy 100% of the time. Never. I've never found it. Within our own family, we move. Deidre and I are constantly talking about this. What's healthy, what's not healthy. What are the areas that aren't healthy that we can adjust or we can change or we can modify to move towards health? It's a constant conversation. We can't have it once. We can't have it just on our anniversary. We've got to have it monthly, weekly, and sometimes daily. So I'm not talking about super Christians here, the only ones that are going to be healthy. I'm talking about people who are pursuing God because God rewards those who seek him, not just those who have found him. They're seeking what he wants for them. A healthy family must have a healthy commitment to God. It's got to be your first priority. Now, for you, that may look different than your neighbor who also is trying to have a healthy commitment to God. It doesn't mean that your lives are identical, but it has to begin with a healthy commitment to God. The second thing that you have to have is a healthy family must have healthy leadership. Now, right off the bat, some of you struggle with leadership. And we've been talking about this for a while as well, that it's very trendy right now to doubt leadership. And as we're watching CNN, if CNN's on like it's in our office a lot, if you're watching CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or whatever your variety is, it can be very difficult to trust your leader sometimes, right? Some of the things that we see happening, it's like, are you kidding me? But when you go into any school today, teachers are struggling because kids are not respecting their leaders. And many times kids are not respecting their leaders because their parents don't respect theirs. And we have inadvertently taught kids to distrust us. We've also, because we have news around the world all the time, we get instant access when someone who we thought was trustworthy has lost trust. And we see it in vivid color, all of the things that they have done that we never would have thought they would have done. And so we doubt leaders. We try to be very careful here. Every church I've ever been a pastor of, somebody will come up and say, well, the pastor must be without fault or blame. To which I'm ready to hand in my resignation, because that's not me. And one of the things that I love about our leaders, whether it be worship leaders or people working in with kids or on our staff or in our leadership council, is a group of people that recognize we all are at fault. We are not all 100% healthy all the time, but we are pursuing it. And we are leaders who are willing to admit when we did something wrong, and we let God work through us and restore us. That's healthy. But to doubt all leadership across the board is not. You are going to struggle with that. We have entrepreneurs coming out of colleges all over the place wanting to start their own business because they just don't want to follow someone else's instructions. And they're failing almost as quickly as they're starting. So my encouragement to you and your family is, where is the leadership coming from? You already are challenged by the fact that if you have children, your children are learning from all of their, not all, but some of their peers to distrust you. And if you think, man, they are terrible people, just remember when you were a teenager or younger, you did the same thing. I did the same thing. They've just gotten a lot better at it than we were. Leadership is crucial for a healthy family. I want to ask you, where is your leadership? For some of you, you come from families that it's just you. You're a single person and you're doing life. And for you, family are those that you have brought into your circle. And for you, leadership is easy because you give that to whoever you want or you take that responsibility yourself. For the others of you, you're in a situation where you're raising kids by yourself. And for leadership for you, it is a nightmare because, you know, I'm just trying to survive and I'm not making it. And even where you have two people as adults in the family, sometimes you can struggle with leadership, struggle with disagreements, struggle with what does it really look like to follow God. We can all have issues with leadership, but a healthy family must have healthy leadership. Proverbs 22:6, popular verse. I think we like to say it. I don't think we like to believe it. But it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. What I do love about this verse is it is training. Train up a child in the way he should go. One of the hard things for me is I work, whether it's a journey or wherever it is, I work at a kind of a fast pace. You know, I have to in order to keep up and not get any more behind than I already am. Anybody else have that kind of life? I kind of work at a fast pace. I like to say things one time and one time only. Anybody else? One of my pet peeves is I have to say the same thing over and over and over again. One of my pet peeves at work is when I send an email and I ask three questions and they respond and don't answer a single question. They didn't even read my email. Does anybody else get those? It's just me? Okay. Okay. Well, it's just me. But it can be frustrating. Training takes time. It takes a lot of different tools to communicate. It takes demonstration, encouragement, correction at times. But training is not simply, they'll figure it out. Even though I don't really show that this is important to me, they'll know that it's important to me. No, they won't. Kids, it's really important to have a relationship with God. But yet, if you don't ever talk to God except on the way to church, because God is going to get them if they don't get dressed and get in the car so they can get to church, that's not training, at least not in a good way. Train up a child in the way he should go. Leadership is crucial to knowing the direction of where you need to be and how you need to get there. And men, I believe this is very much your calling. And we've been watching the news, and Deidre and I, we love sitcoms. I mean, we love them. They're one of our favorite shows to watch. And even shows that, you know, are wholly unhealthy families. We crack up like everybody else does. But one of the trends that we've seen for years, and we've talked about this before, is men that just can't do anything right. The most popular male figure in a sitcom is the most inept man that you can come across. And I believe that in some way men are embracing this idea. But I want you to know God has given you a very real calling within your life. Leadership comes first from God, and then He wants you to lead your family well. Some women are in the room are saying, well, but what if we're just as good of a leader? You very well may be, or even a better one. But God has called men to lead families. And if you don't take this role seriously, you will never have a healthy family. It cannot happen. You must have a healthy leader to have a healthy family. Here's what I would ask you about leadership. What is most important for your family? What is the most important thing for your family? Is it to survive? They've got a roof over their head. They're eating. The toilet flushes this time. We're doing pretty good. I would encourage you to think higher. Kids are in school. They've got their homework done. They're getting good grades. Think higher. Are the kids loved? Do they know how to express love? Do they know how to take responsibility? Are they responsible? Think higher. Because for us parents, we only have a few years before you know they're gone. And yet these are the most formative times within their lives. Now for some of you, you have done this with your kids and you've gotten them out the door and you're on to grandkids, which I hear is a lot easier. I hope to figure that out one day. Some of you are on to grandkids already, and you don't have quite the influence that you had before. But you can still demonstrate what is important for your family. Do you spend time praying together? Do you spend time with God's Word? Do you eat a meal together? And for us, we certainly don't eat meals together every single night. But do you spend time together? So your family will dictate and will become how you lead it to become. Wherever your family is right now, it is where you are leading it. Do you want to take it somewhere else? 1 Peter 3:7 says this. This is such a crucial passage. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Well, sometimes it needs to be the way around. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, some of you are ready to get up and walk out. Hang with me. Hang with me here. It says, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. See, here's the deal. What's the whole deal with the weaker vessel stuff? Isn't that like didn't we get past that passage? Didn't we remove that from the Bible once we went through, suffrage and all of that? Here's the deal. When I was in camping ministry, the camp director, he said this in such an easy way. He said, here's the deal. Women are like that fine vase that you want to put on a shelf and show off. They are refined, they have character, and they bring so much flavor to life. But men are buckets. They need to work. They need to take the brunt of the punishment, and they need to protect that fine vase. Now, the goal here is not that women are incapable. One of the best descriptions I have ever heard of men leading in a family is not because men are better or more capable, but it's giving them an opportunity to lead because God has asked that of them. Colossians 3:18 says this. By the way, this I should have included 3:17, Colossians 3:17 in this as well. But 3:18 says, wives, submit to your husbands. Because literally, this follows a passage saying that we need to submit to each other. But it says, wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything. for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart. I mean, really mean it, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. There's leadership all through that. God wants us to follow His leadership. And if you are in a relationship, if you are in a family, guys, husband and a wife, I see so many times men that just sit by and let their wife do everything. The wife will, many times today, work outside the home as well and yet come home and does everything at home. Men that have to go after their dreams while their wives take care of the children. Men who are still trying to get that thing that gives them value and yet constantly leaving their wife and their kids out. And I want you to know that the path to health is good leadership on our part. You were not born perfect leaders or perfect men. None of us are. But we have to seek Him and let Him lead us. And wives, some of you, man, you are on top of it. You don't need anybody. This is not an issue of equality. We are all equal before God. But in some of you women, man, I'm like, could you just take over my life for a little bit? Is anybody, you know, you might know someone like that? It is not about inability or inequality, but it is in following the instructions of God. That if we ignore them, we are going to continually be pursuing something that God never wanted us to pursue. See, our value comes in valuing the things God says we should value. And yet, because we're so tied in to wanting things to be about us, that we struggle with that. Guys, I believe that part of our role is to take the brunt. There are very few leaders that truly love leadership once they've been leading for a while. Because leadership has costs. People disagree. People get upset. People blame you. People get up and walk out. Leaders that have been leading for a while recognize there's a cost to it. Guys, I think you and I are supposed to carry that. Third thing, let's move on. Family needs to have a healthy commitment to each other. We see that in marriage. We also recognize that there's no greater opportunity for influence than in a family. Now, some of our family members are unhealthy, and they're influencing us in a negative way. And quite honestly, a sermon is not going to fix what's going on within your family. That's going to need long-term care. It's going to need someone coming alongside of you, helping you to see your relationship as it is and move into healthy directions. It can't happen in a sermon. A sermon just is wholly inadequate for that. For some, that requires getting a professional involved. And if that's where you need to be, I would encourage you to do that. There's no greater opportunity for influence than in the context of a family. Galatians 6:10, it says this is what should be happening in our relationships with each other. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Again, the idea of family, doing good for each other. I wrote down four quick things. Number one, by demonstrating humility. Good leaders are putting others before themselves. They demonstrate community. What is important to you is important to me. And what is important to me, I hope, is important to you. It's the idea of community and interrelatedness. They show love to each other. And for some that have never been a receiver of love within their life, this is one of the hardest ones. How do I show love when I've never truly felt it? And again, that's where you need someone to come alongside of you. And you need to protect that inner intimate circle. And the fourth thing is to transfer value. What is valuable to us, we want you to get. We want you to value it. We want you to feel valued and know that you are valued within the context of family. It's not about one family member. The final thing for a healthy family, I believe that they have to follow Jesus together. So you'll never be a good leader if you're not following Jesus first. You'll never be a humble leader if you're not following Jesus first. You'll never show love and value unless you're following Jesus first. And I've never seen a couple that are following Jesus together that struggle with God's instructions on leadership. I don't see it. Deidre and I, we have the kind of relationship that she calls me out. Anybody have a wife that calls you out? Then call yourself blessed. We have times that we sit down and make decisions, and Deidre quite honestly has the better choice. And as a good leader, I listen. And there are times that we have to submit to each other because we recognize family is not about me and family is not about her. Family is about us. And in even a bigger way, our relationship with God. A healthy family must follow Jesus together. I'm going to read one more scripture, then I'm going to quit. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children," training. "You shall talk of them when you sit in your house," demonstrating. "When you walk by the way," showing an example. "And when you lie down, and when you rise," as a way of life. You will demonstrate this as a way of life. Not 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there. "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Bottom line I want to leave you with today is that family can help you on the path to wholeness if you have a life-sharing commitment to God and to each other. My prayer for us is that we would have healthy families. It would also be that we would have discernment and wisdom in those days that we just don't feel healthy, or when circumstances come and kind of rock the boat. My prayer is that within our marriages, they would become stronger. And for those that are not married, that you would use wisdom and finding a person to share your life with. And as you plan out your lives together, instead of pursuing happiness, pursue health and wholeness. And you will find that you are not unhappy anymore. So whatever circumstances will come our way, let us keep our commitment to God. Let us keep our commitment to each other. For those of you who are here and you have healthy families, and we have many of those in the room, here's my encouragement to you. Please demonstrate that to others. Bring other families into the fold. Spend time with them. Let your kids play together. Love on each other. Because that is one of the beauties of the community of faith. That when someone is without, we can make up the difference. And we can be family for those that don't have any. Would you pray with me? Father, God, there are so many times that your teachings seem, sometimes just impossible. And God, I believe they are impossible without you working miraculously in our lives. And God, I pray for those that are here today, and you have blessed them with some incredible families. They care about each other. They love each other. They sacrifice for each other. Father, I also just want to ask you to give an extra measure of grace and comfort to those that they want that more than anything in the world. They may even have begun giving up on the belief that they can have it. Father, I know that you work miracles and you do incredible things in their lives. Lord, I pray that you would remind them today of how powerful you are, how much you love them, and how much you want to work with in their lives. Father, I pray that you would help us as we live in this culture of some things that are good and some things that are not, that you would give us discernment in knowing how to live our lives. Father, I pray for those in the room today, and today is just a difficult sermon because they feel very much alone. God, we know that we are never truly alone, but sometimes we feel that way. Pray that they would see in a very real way that they are a part of a family that will never, never leave them. It will never go away. A family that we're going to be in for all of eternity with you as your children. Father, I pray that you would give them patience as they wait for an opportunity to have stronger relationships here in this place. Father, I pray that you would fill them so that they as well would feel whole. Thank you for your love and for all that you've given us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.